It's wonderful to have the Denbos with us. Dr. Denbo is president of Central Bible College, and usually indoors are out on weekends ministering in churches all over the country. But wonderful to have you here today. It was a couple of weeks ago that Dr. Denbo called me midday, and he said, "I just got out of a very powerful chapel service at Central Bible College. They have chapels 5 mornings a week, Monday through Friday, and from 10:30 to 11:30, I believe." And so it was sometime after 11:30, and he called me. He said, I tell you, God just used one of your youth leaders in an incredible way, Brian Porzio. And he said, he has done something I think you need to know about, and you can do what you want with it, but I just think this is too great to not mention. And so Brian is going to be helping me tonight with the message, and you will be touched and blessed in a great way because he is going to declare to us the word of the Lord. And over the last month, I've had the opportunity to speak in chapel at Central Bible College. It was a great honor to be asked to speak there, as well as just shortly after that at the Assemblies of God headquarters next door. They have their chapel services on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9. And for both of those, God gave me an embarrassingly simple message out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that just simply brings us to not only the external truth of God's word, but the power of the internalized Word of God in our lives. I'd like you to turn there for a few minutes before I introduce Brian to you as we come to God's Word. In fact, I'd like you to stand with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. The 3:16s of Scripture, I suppose you can do a message series on that, although the verse divisions are not inspired particularly, but we've all heard of John 3:16. This is my other favorite 3:16 in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think that's a stunning passage of Scripture. I just want to read it briefly with you one more time. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. That's quite a statement. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped. The sufficiency of God's Word to equip us for every, not most good works, but for everything God would ask for us. How? Through the equipping of God's Word. So, Lord, would you come? Would you wash us with the water of your Word tonight? Would you fill us and challenge us and renew us by the power of your Word as we study it and hear it tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The word translated, God breathed, in verse 16 is in the Greek just one word. We sometimes translate inspired as. And that Greek word is a compound form of the word for God and the word for breath or spirit. And so it's rightfully translated in the New International Version. It's God-breathed or inspired. In other words, God's word has the very mind and intentionality of God himself. What we have in black and white in terms of God's word was given to us not by human ingenuity, but it was given to us by the breathing, the spirit-led and guided work of God to bring to us these truths. And it tells us that the Scripture is good for 4 things: for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, first of all, or you could translate that word doctrine. In other words, God's Word is our guide to what we need to believe. And then rebuking. God's word is our guide to what we need to stop doing. That's what you do when you rebuke a person. You tell them to stop doing something. And God's word is what we need when it comes to correcting, or literally that word means to shaping us up, to shape up, to correct. In other words, God's word, not only what we need to know in terms of stop doing, but start doing. And then it's useful for training. That word has to do with like mentoring and forming. In other words, it has to do with everything we need to become. So he's saying this divinely inspired, God-breathed text is useful for us when it comes to what we need to believe, when it comes to what we need to stop doing, when it comes to what we need to start doing, and when it comes to what we need to become. It's all there. And then that stunning statement, and it has a sufficiency to it. When it comes to everything that God figures we need in order to have all the equipment to live out his purpose in our lives, to guide us in faith and practice, and to equip us, and to be the fuel that gives place to the flame of the Holy Spirit in our lives, this word is what we need. And so this word is absolutely essential to our lives for what we need to believe, what we need to stop doing, what we need to start doing, and what we need to become. It's all right here. And then he packages it all together and says it thoroughly equips us for every good word, every good work. And so the task of not only knowing the word, but internalizing the word is a great challenge in our lives. We are people, to borrow the cliche, of the word. And we get the word of God into our lives in many, many different ways. You are internalizing the word of God to some degree right now by hearing the teaching of the word of God. And we also understand what it is to study the word of God. We challenge every one of you. I found that people, kind of the afterburners in their spiritual life, kick in when finally they move past just always being fed the word by others to where they can learn how to feed themselves God's word. That was my father's experience at 50 years old when he used to go to pastor and say, I'm amazed how you get all that truth out of God's word. Could you tell me how you study God's word and how you discover those truths? And he said, not one pastor could ever tell me. They just said, you lead the Sunday school and do your part and I'll take care of the word of God. But you know what? One day, I think I learned it from a discipleship class in university ministry. I just said, well, Dad, that's easy. You know, you just take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, draw two lines to create three columns. The top of one, what does it say? Top of the second column, what does it mean? And third column, what does it mean to me, or how does it apply to me? And I was just a simple mind thing. I don't even really remember doing it, except that's the way I did it, and that's the way I explained it to him. And I heard him say at a conference a number of years later, he said, that created at 50 years old a revolution in my spiritual life. Because for the first time, I found just a simple little tool by which I could go past just always being fed by others to where I could study the Word of God myself. And I'd get up at 5:30 every morning and I'd begin to study God's Word and get it into my heart. And when I learned to feed myself God's Word as well as have it fed to me on Sundays and Wednesdays, he said, I began to experience a whole revival in my life, a whole brand new ignition of the work of God's Spirit in my heart. It's important to hear the Word and to study the Word. It's important to read God's Word and then to take bite-sized portions and meditate on God's Word, which is part of the spiritual digestive process, to take the truth of God's Word and chew on it a little verse over and over and meditate on it, and then to pray God's Word, to take the contents of His Word and pray it back to Him. All of these ways of internalizing God's Word. And there's one other of a few others, and that's to memorize God's Word. I'd like Brian Porzio to come, please. And Brian is a student at Central Bible College, and he is one of our youth leaders. In fact, you have a mic. This is Brian Porzio, and let's welcome him here tonight to it, because he's going to be mainly doing the rest. Brian, what year are you?
I'm a senior.
And you're a senior. And what are you preparing? What are you studying, preparing for?
When I was young, the Lord called me to be an evangelist to the United States of America. But at CBC, I'm in the pre-seminary program studying Koine Greek, which is right in the alley of your message, studying the Word of the Lord.
We're studying the Word of the Lord. It all relates. God's preparing you for every good work by the power of His Word.
That's right.
And you are a youth leader here. You teach some of our youth Sunday school classes and youth small groups. I know you're one of a favorite for my girls who love your classes, and you're just a wonderful youth leader with us. And how long have you been at Central?
I started coming here the second week I came to Springfield, so this is my fourth year here.
Fourth year here, yeah.
This was the first church that God planted me, and I stayed faithful, and I've loved this church ever since.
Awesome. And we love you, and we're so glad that you've been a part of it. You just memorized the entire five chapters of 1 Peter.
Yes.
You just memorized those. How long did that take you?
It took me about a couple weeks of really just hammering it out, and getting it to the point that I, you know, you don't have to think about it when you quote it.
Right, yeah.
I was always told by my Bible quiz teacher and coach in high school that there's a difference between memorizing and internalizing.
Yeah.
Internalizing is when you don't even have to think about it. You can quote scripture while you're doing five other things. So
it took you a whole 2 weeks to do that? What? I mean, you slipping or what?
Man? You know, in high school, I was a nerd. And, yeah. Man, that was all I did.
That helps.
I would spend my lunch hour
trying
to memorize that and getting it ready for teen Bible quiz meets and things like Central has here with your team. So,
what's memorizing God's word like that done for you personally?
You know, I was just asked that about a week ago. Teen Bible quiz and really memorizing the word of God was the best thing that happened to me in high school. I still reap the benefits of my coach pushing me to memorize the word of God in high school. The washing of the brain and the mind that comes through just large intake of the Word of God, I still walk in that. Scripture, you know, when you memorize Scripture, when you internalize it, it's constantly coming to your mind. The Holy Spirit can use it constantly in life or in situations that it can be applied, and you're just a channel for the Word of the Lord in evangelism, in your own personal spiritual transformation, and in a number of other ways.
Absolutely.
I can't fully communicate to you the value of the scripture I've memorized in Bible quiz in high school and different things like that.
That's fantastic. What made you decide to memorize 1 Peter?
Well, it was part of the Bible quiz collection that you memorize. And when I was in high school, when I was a younger guy, I didn't really want to do it. Yeah. But my parents and my coach really pushed me. And finally, by my junior, senior in high school, I really started to get a hold of this thing. Yeah. And so I memorized it, yes, for Bible quiz, but also because the Lord had told me, listen, you need to get this in your heart because you got a lot of work to go in your life, Brian, and you need this for your spiritual transformation. So I just ran with it.
Amen. We've asked you if you would just, like you did in chapel at CBC, just present to us 1 Peter and its five chapters. It'll take about 20 minutes, and we're just going to sit here. We're going to be washed by the water of the Word, and we're going to allow, because the Word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword the Spirit uses. And it's what the Spirit of God uses to bring transformation in our lives. And Lord, as Brian shares your word tonight, may it equip us thoroughly tonight. May it be powerful and mighty in our lives. May there be things to believe and things to stop doing and things to start doing and things to become that become real to us through your word tonight. And thank you for Brian. Thank you for this great example. Thank you for this young man of God that you're raising up. And thank you for the word mighty through his life, your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Amen. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, slander, envy of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Yes. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Yes. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. And you are her daughters, if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. My dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Please stand with me, please. Just lift praise to him today for the power of his word in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, oh God, for the power of your word, the might and wisdom of your counsel, for the glory of Jesus and life in him, oh God, as we have heard it tonight. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. For the scriptures that thoroughly equip us to every good work. Thank you, Lord, for the treasure of your word and the power of your word, the wisdom of your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And we respond to your word at every point, Lord, tonight, where there was moments of instruction and conviction, where Lord, you taught us or rebuked us or corrected us or trained us in righteousness through your word tonight. We pray, oh God, that, Lord, we will just respond there. Our attitudes through suffering, Lord. Our willingness to stand alone for you and be ready to give others reason for the hope. Our attitudes of humility and submission one to another. Our willingness to use whatever gifts you've given us to serve one another. Our obedience to your call to drink the milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And my God, all of the breadth of what was there in 1 Peter, Lord, we just respond and we say, yes, Lord, form us, teach us, correct us, and instruct us, we pray. And we hear you tonight, and we thank you tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Just worship him tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise.